Hello and welcome to the Birdie and Bass podcast, episode 16. I'm Bass and with me is Birdie.
Hello.
And in this episode, we're going to discuss the fallout that was the pre-orders of the new generation of consoles. Xbox is still in acquiring phase in the fact that they've just acquired Bethesda and its parent companies and pretty much associated companies that go with it. So we're going to go through and discuss all that acquisition. First off, we're going to go with, Sony came out with a presentation and then turned around and put pre-orders live straight away, which caught a lot of people off guard and annoyed a lot of people from what I've been seeing.
Like was it straight away for Australia or was it like 6 hours?
Well, they said you could pre-order it. Between, from what I see with the presentation, I think was it 2 or 3 a.m. WA time? And like by 6 a.m., 7 a.m. WA time, you could pre-order a PlayStation.
Yeah, so it was about 5-ish hours, we'll say. But yeah. I watched it live and I was on like the EB Games website and their Twitter didn't come up with anything saying pre-orders were live and nothing came up on their website. So it definitely didn't happen straight away. A lot of people went ballistic about pricing and stuff like that. But yeah, watching it live was a little bit ridiculous. And just especially on YouTube with all the comments and stuff like that, like people were excited. It was a competitive price. Everything like that. But what gets me is PlayStation had tweeted out prior to that pre-orders will not be a surprise. People will be informed beforehand when pre-orders are going live. I did not see that happen at all.
Yeah, well, from what I've seen, the pre-orders just went live.
Yes. There's a very good reason for that. As I've discovered, apparently Walmart just put them live without Sony's permission.
Oh.
And then because Walmart did it, Best Buy followed suit because they didn't want to miss out on sales. And then the whole thing just went crazy. Yeah, so it was kind of like a dominoes effect.
Because of American retailers.
Yeah. The way I've heard it explained is it's not the first time that Walmart has done this. They obviously they make so much freaking money. All they want to do is keep making money. They don't care about anyone's rules. So that's obviously what's happened. They've had their numbers given to them and they've gone ahead with it to try and jump the gun on everyone else. And it obviously worked. They sold out before Best Buy even went live.
Well, all right then. So,
but yeah, it wasn't Sony's fault per se, but at the same time, the way I feel about it anyway is obviously like they were too scared to do this to the Xbox Series X launches. So what's the difference between breaking a embargo from Sony and breaking an embargo from Microsoft?
I don't know. I'm trying to work out the difference myself.
This could have happened, unless Sony did not put a date embargo on their pre-orders, only on the device itself.
Could have.
Yeah, I mean, there's just an honor system and no one's going to abide by that.
No one's going to honor anything. They're just going to send it. They'll send it live as quickly as they can to reap the most amount of reward.
Mm. Which is a bit silly, really, because, I mean, they're going to sell out across the board either way. So, whatever. But in Australia, if you did something, if, say, EB Games or JB Hi-Fi set them alight first before anyone else, that actually has ramifications in Australia. Obviously, it doesn't in America because I've seen it where EB Games has broken an embargo that was from Square Enix, and then they weren't allowed to have pre-orders for a collector's edition for the next game that came out from Square Enix because they broke embargo and they were fined.
Well, which is fair enough. You break embargo, you should be
accountable
for it.
It wasn't, they didn't break embargo by like selling it early. They broke embargo by putting up the freaking posters early for the pre-orders.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's all it was. And that pissed off Square Enix enough.
Fair enough.
But that's what happens in Australia. I know Sony Australia does the same type of thing. Like they will just be like, well, then you're not getting the next cool thing that we have. It's that simple.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah, but you got to play ball with these kinds of companies. Like, if you don't play by the rules, then why should you get all the good stuff?
Yeah, true.
Which is why I don't get why Walmart's just like, oh, stuff them, who cares? It's only Sony.
But the same sort of thing happened. The Sony one sold out and that caught everyone off guard and people were supposed to get notification that you were getting a pre-order and you could go live. Mm. But, like, what was it? It had been live for well over an hour. Maybe half an hour. So it was about that. It was when that I pre-ordered my PS5 digital, and then half an hour after I'd done mine, the first lot had been closed off.
Well, I got two really good things about that one. One, you pre-ordered a digital edition, which I don't think is going to be very popular in Australia. Because let's face it, our internet is horrific. But also on top of that, when you messaged me saying that you got a pre-order for one, I hadn't even woken up yet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Imagine all the other ones that just stayed up to watch it, gone to sleep, and then woken up and gone, there's no pre-orders available.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what, they sold out? What, they went live? Why did they go live? No one said they were going live. What the hell? Because that's the shock that I got. Like, I wasn't going to pre-order one anyway, but that was the first thing going through my head. Like, why the hell did they go live? What?
Yeah, I don't know. But I know that a lot of the accessories was gone pretty quick. I managed to pick up a second controller, but I didn't end up picking up the charging station.
So no charging station. Did you get their fancy smancy media remote?
No. I just use a controller.
Now, did you get their... Yeah, but that's not good enough, apparently. Did you get their fancy, schmancy 3D audio headphones?
No, I did get the camera, but because apparently the camera you need for the VR to run on PS5.
Yes, you do. And apparently adaption kit, which they still haven't actually shown anyone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm waiting on that, but I was like, I'll get the camera anyway because the camera's handy for doing sign-in and stuff like that when you're sitting in front of it.
That is true. Very true. I'll give you that. It is literally a Kinect.
Yeah, which I don't get why Microsoft doesn't still do anything along the lines of that. But anyway.
Because Microsoft did the whole thing where it's not going to be a camera. It's going to be a tracker that's got a 3D laser imaging system that can detect your freaking heartbeat in your chest from across the room. Plus, it's going to have four microphones in it. And it's going to take up this much processing power just to run it.
Yeah, why can't they just go back and do a normal camera instead of like Just Dance or just work with that without having to bloody hook it up to a phone or whatever else you got to hook it up to these days if you don't have a Kinect?
They don't technically need to. I mean, like if you get an Xbox now and plug the Logitech C920 into it, it works. It just doesn't work for what you want it to work for, which is Just Dance.
I don't want it to dance. My daughter does. It's just easier.
I understand that. Like, you're not going to give it your daughter a freaking smartphone and watch it go flying through the ceiling, are you?
No, but I just don't get. Well, if that's the case, then why hasn't someone magically written into the frig? Why is it Just Dance written into the software? Hey, look, if you go buy this third party accessory, it'll work with our game.
And that's what I don't get. Like, why hasn't Ubisoft done that? Because obviously it works with the PlayStation camera. Yes, it's a proprietary camera. And do you need the Move controllers for it to work for Just Dance?
No idea. I don't.
Okay. Like pretty much people were still buying Just Dance on the Wii up until last year, which is because last year was the last year they made it on the Wii, because it was the easiest way to play Just Dance. You get a Wii remote, it's got a motion sensor, away you go. The Switch is the second easiest way. Nintendo has this market filled.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. So, like, I think I'll probably end up having to move over to get it on the Switch for my daughter, because I don't even know if the Kinect worked. Well, I've got the Kinect adapter now at the moment, so she's still able to play the game through the Xbox with the Kinect adapter, but it's just so easy with that. She doesn't need anything in her hands or whatever. She just gets up and dances, and that knows, senses all the movement. I'm just like, why can't Microsoft come out with an accessory that's like that, or a third party provider bring out an accessory like that that'll work, and then it's just written into the games?
I think personally, like, if Microsoft brought out another Kinect, I think they're just going to cop more shit from the media and from consumers. I think Ubisoft need to do something about it. Like, bundle a camera in with it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Back in the day when they were doing, was it Ubisoft that was doing Guitar Hero or Rock Band or whatever it was?
No, Guitar Hero was done by Redstone and Activision, and Rock Band, I can't remember.
But you get what I mean. Like, they're able to do third party accessories that actually just worked. So I'm just like, well, why can't Ubisoft do a camera that bundles in with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a USB camera. Exactly.
But anyways, so that was the PlayStation kerfuffle of a launch. the other thing is, I couldn't justify spending $150 for a disc drive. Like, $150 for a disc drive is going to, it's $120 for the new Spider-Man. Like, so I save on the disc drive and I get the Spider-Man game cheaper, and I just order it digitally. So I ended up with it on PS4 and on PS5.
It's a little bit ridiculous how they've done a few things. Like, the marketing-wise, I think everything is definitely going into Microsoft's favor for this generation. But at the same time, I don't know what it is. Like, obviously, there is a lot of people that are just Sony purists, and that's fine. That's your console of choice. But it annoys me when, like, they just say stuff, especially online, out of blatant desperation to be the winner in some conversation. And it's just, like, you've just got to, like, tag them in a tweet or, like, share a tweet to them from Sony saying, no, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, since when? Well, since always. But, like, they've made some mistakes, and it's just a different site from what Sony wants to do with their next generation console compared to what Microsoft wants to do with theirs. And personally, I think the Microsoft version just suits me better. Yes, I am an Xbox person, but, like, last generation with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I was feeling it. Like, I was actually really unhappy with what Xbox was doing. I bought one anyway. I'm glad with where they came from. Especially with the Xbox One X. I love it, but...
Yeah, they've seemed to have gone back to the whole, we're a game developer, not a friggin' media center.
Yes, that's definitely correct. Even though, let's face it, these consoles are media centers. They just don't want to... It shouldn't be the front image for the advertising.
Yep. But at the end of the day... that is what it is with Sony. Xbox pre-orders was a whole different story. We knew when it was going to drop, and we were just getting website crash after website crash after website crash, and we're trying to process orders. But we did eventually get some through.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's better or worse, really. Like, do you think it's better putting, like, an exact time and date on it than just letting everyone set up bots and ready to go?
I
just I feel like that's what's happened with Xboxes.
It just seemed, well, I don't know whether it was the bot sort of thing, and the fact that the biggest thing I think when we were pre-ordering was the fact the payment gateway just couldn't hold up to the amount of transactions it was prior to process.
No, I mean it's the biggest. There's only what, two payment gateways in Australia, and one of them no one uses because they're shit.
Oh, it's like all the banks have their own ones and everything like that. Yeah. It's just there's a lot of third party ones around. You just need to look around and see what you can find. But the other side of it, I think, is the thing that I don't get, like, albeit JB Hi-Fi's pre-order method was just take $50 off everyone until for a certain period, I think it was, and then just will tell you what batch you're getting.
That was great.
That was that one. But I think, to me, the EB Games way of doing it was not the best way of doing it. To me, if you're going to have your promote your little cards in store and your different levels and stuff like that, why aren't you giving your level fours and your level fives, or even if it's just like, we're going to give our level fives, which is our elite top whatever Australia wide of each store, they're going to get, whether it's just the fact that they get 2 hours early access or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're only limited to purchase one on that card, but they get it 2 hours, they get it to do an online order 2 hours before it goes to open so that everyone else. Because to me, that gives, if people know about that, yes, some people will whinge about it, but the other side of it is, it wouldn't it incentivize people to spend more money at EB to get up to that level and to do the trade-ins and to do all the bonus stuff that you need to do to make sure you maintain it or stay up at that level, whether they did it for level five and level four. Said like, well, look, 2 hours beforehand, level five guys, people can go in. 1 hour beforehand, the level four guys can go in and do their order, and then after that, it's just open slather. So if you don't get there in time, I'm sorry, but you're in with everyone else.
Yeah, so we'll do a little bit of a background here. I was a store manager for EB Games for 3 years. When they brought out the level five program, it was 6 months of telling us the level five cards are for the top 1,000 EB Games customers in the country. That's the entire of Australia. Right?
Yep.
Me and you both are level fives.
Yeah.
Now, they said these are the benefits that level fives are going to get. They're going to get free access to EB Games Expo. Right? Which one is bullshit, because EB Games Expo's collapsed from bankruptcy, and now it's just mixed in with PAX.
Yep.
Two. True. Well, the other problem with that is, well, fucking 300 of your level fives live in Western Australia on the other side of the country. Do you know how expensive it is to fucking, like, get a plane ticket at that time of year to go over EB Games? It's almost impossible.
Yep.
So, like, they needed different benefits for people over West. No, don't want to hear it. Okay, whatever. But the other thing was, level fives were given priority access, were meant to be given priority access to EB Expo tickets for the Ultimate Gamer Passes 2 hours before they went live for the general public. Which, why? Because they're giving you free tickets anyway, so what the fuck? Anyway,
I guess you get to upgrade, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so, and then they went on with collector's editions, certain collector's editions, level fives have early access to. Starlight VIP events they have access to, which is Starlight Children's Foundation, which was great. Apparently only 20 level fives ever did it. So work that one out. Because they only did it the first year.
Then
the whole, like, hold your pre-orders for what, 2 weeks, is it? Or a month?
I think it's longer than that. I thought it was 4 weeks.
Yeah, so a month hold period on your pre-orders for level five.
Might be in the middle of what we've just said, might be 21 days, so 3 weeks.
Okay, so I've seen state managers just go, oh, that person wants a pre, like, wants something that pre-ordered out. Has anyone not picked theirs up? Oh, yeah, that one hasn't, but they're a level 5. Don't worry about it. Just give it to them.
Yeah, because they're not going
to. They just override it.
Yeah.
Like, there is no point to being in this elite group of level 5 people, like the top 1,000, what they call top 1,000 gamers in Australia, or it's just their top 1,000 customers, pretty much.
Yep.
But you're completely right. One, they should give us priority access to console launches because they're the people that want the next generation of console. That stops your scalpers massively.
And it also prioritizes your most loyal customers.
Exactly. Like, that's the whole point of being there. Give your loyal customers the benefit of being continuing to be a loyal customer. Like, I don't even want to shop at EB anymore. If there wasn't a console launch, I probably wouldn't even go into the store this year.
I've switched over to just doing the whole digital thing, and I'll only buy collector's editions from there. Pretty much the only stuff I've got on pre-order with EB is hardware.
Hmm.
That's all I'm buying.
I'm even dubious about doing that because the last controller that came out for Xbox, I went in there to pick it up a week after it launched and they sold it. And I had it on pre-order. I'm a level 5. They didn't hold it.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, we didn't have your phone number. Well, excuse me, I used to be a store manager here. My phone number's on the system, on my card, along with my address and my email. Like, the only thing you don't have is my driver's license number. Oh, no, wait, you do, because I've traded in there before. Like, you could run a background check on me for fuck's sake.
Yep.
And it's not just this store. All the stores across the country are being like this now. They know they're on the back foot, and now they're starting to lose their customer support as well.
Well, customers aren't going to hang around if they're going there to pick pre-orders up, and pre-orders have been just handed off to someone else that's come in the door so they can get a sale through.
Exactly. It's beyond crap.
But the other side of it is a lot of people are still going to shop there because at the end of the day, unless you do your research and know where you're buying from, a lot of mum and dads, when they're going there to get kids stuff, that's where they're going to shop.
Mm. And that's the unfortunate thing about it. Like, I mean, Cyberpunk 2077 is actually cheaper digitally than it is at EB Games. I don't get that.
Is there any pre-order bonuses for doing it digitally?
No,
check that one.
Not for Cyberpunk.
Oh, okay.
Cyberpunk don't have any different editions apart from just the standard edition, which is wigging me out because I feel like there should be some, like, you know, get the digital deluxe version or something like that. But it's just
maybe because of the delays have gone, look, we'll just give everyone everything the same.
I just don't think CD Projekt Red is just not their style. Like, they never did it with Witcher. If you got a physical copy of Witcher, you could get the deluxe edition from EB Games, but EB made that bundle themselves. So it had the standard copy of the game and it came with some extra crap.
Yeah, well, I'm at the point there. I'm just, unless it's going to come out on display, I'm at the point of why buy it? Because I just don't have that much shelf space these days.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing I was going to get to. The only other edition that CD Projekt Red did for Witcher 3 was the collector's edition, which came with that massive statue, the biggest collector's edition ever sold at retail. It's massive.
Yeah, I was having a look around before, and like the pre-order for the new Mortal Kombat 11, like their collector's editions is $500.
Yeah.
It's just about the same price as a console.
It's an impressive edition and stuff like that, but Cyberpunk just don't seem to be doing that. They have collectible figurines, which are upwards of $3,000.
Oh, and they got their outfits and stuff like that, the clothing line.
Yeah, but that's it. They're not just doing a bundled thing. They're like, well, we don't want people to have to buy the game physically just to get the statue or whatever. It's like, it's practically a make what you want deal, which I think is quite good.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they've just realized they've delayed the game long enough. People aren't really going to give two hoots about the collector's edition Xbox has already been released and people are supposed to get the game with that.
Yeah, well, they got a digital version of it and they can pre-download it and that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. I think more like companies should do this. I think Activision should do this with Call of Duty Cold War. Like, if you think about it, rather than doing like a big edition or something like that, they should just sell the collector's edition stuff separately, and then you can pick up the game if you want to. Like, the amount of people I used to have come in that would buy a collector's edition of something for the statue or something like that, and they would trade the game in still sealed because they bought it digitally because they wanted to play it and not wait for us to open.
Yeah, well, I ordered the new Call of Duty in the digital edition, and I thought that was the one that I got. I'm quite happy with what I got for what I spent.
Yeah, like I got the same one as you, because I'm guessing you got the Ultimate Edition that's both current and next-gen compatible.
Yeah, and then it's got all the season pass and all the rest of that kind of stuff like that. So to me, it's good value for what you're getting, which is about time to see that the digital editions are stepping up their game with value for money.
I think COVID actually helped the industry digitally, in all honesty, which is kind of weird for me to say.
Well, the other side of it is both Sony and Microsoft have both come out with digital edition consoles.
Mm.
You've got to incentivize so people will buy their games digitally. Other than people aren't going to buy those consoles because they're going to go, well, what's the point of buying the console? I can't get these collector's editions.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Like, you're talking about the parents going and buying their kids' games before. I saw it happen with the Xbox One SAT edition, the old digital edition.
Yep.
We had so many people buy them because they were a cheaper console from like JB Hi-Fi and stuff like that. And they were just never told that it just didn't take a disc. And then they'd come in like, oh, JB won't take this back. How much is the trade value? I'm like, how long you had it? A week? It took you a week to realize there's no freaking disc tray. What the fuck have you been doing?
Yeah, but then again, like, I know other parents that they just hand over the credit card and the kid just buys everything online on the store. So
I've seen that.
Or they do just give them, yeah, it's always going to go wrong. Most of the ones I've seen now hit on to the fact you can buy credit. So they just go and buy credit and they put the credit onto the account and then they use that.
I used to suggest PayPal until the whole Sony kerfuffle against PayPal happened.
Yeah, well, most of the one people that I talk when they ask about it, I just say, look, you just go to your, you can walk into Coles, you can walk into Target, BW, all these ones, go up to the gift voucher rack, and you'll see credit, little cards of credit there.
You just could buy them those from Coles Express service stations for a while as well.
I think you still can. Some service stations still have them. So I'm like, just buy those, give them to your kids, let them top up with the credit. They're not going to run your credit card up or anything else like that. They just add it to it, and they can do what they want with it. When it's gone, it's gone.
Money.
Yeah. Anyway, moving along, Microsoft seems to be in a purchasing frenzy still, where they've come out and spent, was it 7.5 billion or million?
Yeah, it was billion.
Billion dollars buying Bethesda and its parent company and associated companies. I think that's right.
They technically bought ZeniMax Interactive, which that's who owns Bethesda.
As well as is it reading right? Is this like ID and all that a part of that as well?
They own ZeniMax, they own id Software, they own Arkane Studios. They own so much. They're practically like an Activision Blizzard. They own so many other companies, and you play so many of their games, and you just don't realize.
And now that's part of the whole Xbox thing, and I noticed in a few subsequent articles that have come out since then, the Xbox or Microsoft have come out and said that they don't need to sell the games to Microsoft to Sony to make their money back.
No, they really don't. Like, could you imagine Elder Scrolls Dix being only on Xbox?
I'm just waiting for the whole, they're going to go the whole payback to Sony and say, hey, look, we're going to release this on Microsoft, and Microsoft's going to, or Xbox is going to get it 2 months before everyone else.
Or that's what happened with when Oblivion came out. They brought it out on Xbox 360 as the first time an Elder Scrolls game had ever been on console. And they brought it out on 360 a year before they brought it out on PlayStation 3. And, like, that was one of the reasons that Xbox 360 absolutely destroyed PlayStation. Because it could get games like that, whereas PlayStation just had no hope. And when it did come out on PlayStation, it ran like crap.
Yeah, well, when you start having a look at what Xbox or what Microsoft have now got in their arsenal of studios, it's quite a lineup. And the fact that I reckon that we're gonna see Xbox and Nintendo getting a lot more close these days, because to me, I reckon they're more complement each other, I think, rather than compete against each other.
Mm.
So if just be funny booting up a game on Nintendo with a bloody Microsoft logo on it, but anyway, like you do with Minecraft. Well, you already do.
Yeah, Minecraft already does that. It says Microsoft Game Studios as soon as you boot it up on Switch. Same with on PlayStation.
Oh, well, so what do you reckon? Is this good for the industry, bad for the industry, great for being an Xbox person?
Look, I personally think it's good. Like, they've still got their Sony exclusive contracts going, which stuff like, what's that Tango Softworks game that's based in Tokyo? That's still going to be a PlayStation exclusive. Apparently, there was rumors that their new space game from Bethesda was going to be a timed exclusive PlayStation, but that's been completely ripped out now, so that's good.
But, that news, Skyfield or whatever.
Yeah, Skyfield, that's the one. PlayStation still has a timed exclusivity on. My mind has gone blank.
Is it Deathloop? Oh, Deathloop.
Yeah, and I was really excited for that, and I can't believe Sony got an exclusive on it for a while. But, I mean, that's how the world works. I would like to, personally, what I would like to see is what Microsoft has done with Minecraft and say, like, yeah, sure, you can have Elder Scrolls 6 on your console, but guess what? It's our game. It's going to be on Sony consoles, but it is our game. Like, it goes with what Microsoft and Xbox and Phil Spencer has been doing this entire generation, where they want all gamers to play together and all have fun together, and they're trying to bridge that gap. Sony has been that one thorn in the side of this entire endeavor, and they're finally letting it happen with crossplay and stuff like that. There'd be no point in Xbox coming out and saying, no, all Bethesda games are now exclusive to Microsoft.
Well, it's Sony's got no choice now. They've got to suck it up and do the deals.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe EA, when they announced a lot of their next-gen games, they just kept saying it's cross-play. Like, it's EA. I thought that'd be one of the last companies, but, I mean, that's brilliant.
Well, I didn't realize that EA were going to be that lux in allowing their EA to come across to Game Pass.
I think that's a very strong move for them personally, because if you think about it, they had the first like gaming service, subscription service on a console, because it's on Xbox One anyway, and it's never been on PlayStation. Remember, yeah, that it's never been on PlayStation. This is just to make their subscription numbers higher.
Yeah, this is just going to open further up for them.
Exactly. It's going to get them more players. It's going to feed into the, like, more people getting FIFA every year, spending more on microtransactions and blah, blah, blah. That's all it is. It's a good business move for them. It allows more people to play. And like the way the industry is going at the moment is Microsoft's making all the good moves. Like, yes, buying ZeniMax is a definite, like, oh yeah, you can't stop us. Like, we will freaking buy everything from underneath you if we have to, type thing.
Well, but I don't really think there's much left that's worthy of looking at, really.
They could buy EA or Activision.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they'd pretty cemented those companies.
Could you imagine? Because think about it this way. Disney bought the Star Wars, like, I don't know what to call it. It's not really a license. It's way bigger than that.
Franchise.
Right? They bought that. And Microsoft spent $3.8 billion more on ZeniMax.
Yep. Like, oh, but they'll get it back.
I know. It's just a, it's just nothing to them. And that's what I mean. Like, if they really, really, really wanted to, they could just go knock on Sony's door and go, yeah, we want to have another Sunset Overdrive game, so we're just going to buy Insomniac from you.
Well, that's the other thing as well. When you have a look at what makes, say, what makes the internet go around, it's a lot of Microsoft products.
Mm.
What makes a lot of businesses keep going is Microsoft products or Microsoft licensing. So the pot of, that they've got behind them is quite a large pot compared to Sony. What Sony's got behind them is the fact that they make TVs and...
Yeah, they're a consumer electronics company first and foremost. But consumer electronics don't make that much money.
No.
Like, software does. And technically, like, they're already in business dealings with Sony anyway, because Sony has signed a contract 2 years ago to utilize Microsoft Azure cloud network.
Yeah, which is pretty much the only way that the whole cross-play and the whole having good networks and servers and stuff like that worldwide is going to happen.
But the only way they could have gone anywhere else is if they went to Google to use their cloud computing system.
Yeah, that's really the, it's the only real direct competition Microsoft's got.
But they're not going to do that because Google want to use their system for their own gaming crap.
Yeah. So Sony really doesn't have much else to do rather than it has to do a deal with other
people. Yeah, they have to do a deal or they have to develop their own.
Yeah.
Oh, let's face it, they can't do that.
We'll just see how the rest of the years come out. I reckon probably 2 or 3 years' time, Microsoft's going to start hitting games into the out to the consumers pretty hard.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting.
Either that or Game Pass Ultimate is just going to be a bloody goldmine.
Well, it is, because if these are all first party, and that's the Game Pass promise, that all first-party software is going to be on Game Pass day one.
Oh, well.
So, dude, Elder Scrolls 6, Game Pass day one.
Yep. We can load them all up beforehand.
If you, also, just quickly, just if you think about it, remember back at the Xbox, last Xbox showcase where they showed off what company was it again? Obsidian. Obsidian showed off that Skyrim clone.
Yeah.
And everyone got really excited because they didn't have to wait for Bethesda to bring out the next Elder Scrolls, because Obsidian make just as good games, probably even better, because let's face it, they made the best Fallout game there's ever been, which was Fallout New Vegas, for Bethesda. So if you think about it, now they, Microsoft literally has the best RPG makers in the world, and Todd Howard, I mean, say what you will about Todd Howard, he's literally a gaming god.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, I think Microsoft is sitting there pretty well perched when it comes to games coming out. They just got to have the hardware to back it up.
From everything I've seen online with, like, Microsoft giving out those consoles to content creators and media and stuff like that, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm looking around for a 4K 27-inch monitor, I think. Anyways, that's all we've got time for this episode. If you want to get hold of us, our email address is 30andBase podcast at essentialgamer.com.au, essentialgamerau on Instagram and Facebook, and essentialgamerau on Twitter. We're going to start linking all these socials and everything into the description of each episode, so you'll be able to see the information there as well. So until next time, see you later.
Bye.